I suppose every generation sees lots of changes, and that has always been the case. But there does seem to have been a lot of changes the past number of years. And in many ways, it seems to me that we're living in a time of uncertainty, and especially God's people. And we're being told we must change our thinking about things. That's what I want to emphasize this morning. We're being told that we need to change our thinking. And we want to ask ourselves, is nothing certain? We're told that we've got to abandon basically what the Bible says. Now I'm thinking especially of that great parade that there was yesterday in Belfast. Thousands of people. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that it is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. And if you young ladies and men come to get married here someday, if you're not ready, if you're not married, the minister will start off and say that the only way that a marriage can take place in a Presbyterian meeting house is between a man and a woman. That was laid down by the General Assembly. And that is clear. And I want to say to young people, listen, we've got to be clear about this. If you want to look up Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 following in some time. Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses by the middle of the chapter. Look those verses up and see what it says. And then we have the whole question, of course, of abortion. No wonder there's a time of uncertainty. Uncertainty. Even fear in many ways. People, uncertainty leads to fear. But yet so often in the scriptures we're told to fear not. The angel said to the shepherds the night that the Lord Jesus was born, they said, fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, for unto you this day is born a Savior. John on the Isle of Patmos, writing the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, was told, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Listen, especially young people, make sure you know what you believe. Make sure you know what you believe. Make sure whenever people say to you, look, life is pointless or life is aimless, what comes into your head immediately? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Remember that, young people. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's why we're here. We're here to glorify God. We're here to enjoy him forever. And we need to know and to follow him. A Christian then should not be uncertain. A Christian should have certainties. Instead of saying, I hope so, or maybe this will happen, we should be able to say, I know. And it's this note that we have here in 1 John, the whole letter, if you read it right through perhaps later on, you'll find that it's filled with the word no. The word no. Chapter 2, verse 3, we know we have come to know him. We know we have come to know him. Chapter 3 and 14, we know we have passed from death unto life. And this, that I want us to think about for a short time this morning, to think really of what is certain. We know past certainties, present certainties, and also future certainties. So let's think first of all of past certainties. The certainties of the past provide a solid foundation for the present. Many years ago, I worked at times on a building site, and I knew the importance of getting the foundations right. And the inspector would come and look into them and make sure they were ready before you could pour the concrete. Get a right foundation. And then whenever the walls would go up, you would know that it's sitting on a good foundation. And that's the important thing. That's the important thing, to build on a good foundation, to build on the proper foundation. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. He changes not, and the events of the past are really a foundation for the future. Now think of a number of things in this theme. The covenant that God made with his people away at the very beginning of Scripture. Whenever he spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I will be your God and the God of your children after you. What a wonderful promise. The God of your children after you. God did not nor will not break his promise. He did not break his covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. Zechariah, whenever Jesus was born, do you remember what he said in Luke chapter 1? He said about God hath raised up an horn of salvation to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father, Abraham. God is a covenant-keeping. God is a promise-keeping God. He keeps his promise. And of course, the promise throughout the Old Testament is about the coming of a Messiah. Oh, keep it in mind. It's always about the coming of Jesus. The people who walked in darkness would be set free. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. God promised, he promised. And we know his promise was kept. Oh, when you think about it, just remind yourself of it. A Savior promised, but also a Savior who came. He came to what to do? To seek and to save people like you and people like me. He gave himself a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus hung between heaven and earth in order to save his people. Nothing could be more certain than this. Never doubt that Jesus came to save. Never doubt. He's a wonderful Savior. What could be more certain than this? He was promised. He came and he died. And he conquered sin and death in the grave. And we know he's alive forevermore. This has already taken place. We look back at the foundation. The foundation is sure. But it's not only the past events of many, many years ago. For every Christian, there's the certainty in our own lives. If you're a Christian this morning, look back. Look back to the time whenever you put your trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. What happened? Do you not remember that you passed from death unto life? Do you remember that you knew that you trusted Christ and your sins were forgiven? You knew that you were dead in trespasses, but now you've been made alive? Look back and think of all that God has done for you in Christ. No longer a child of bondage, but a child of God through the Lord Jesus. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. That's what he has done. That's the certainty of what has happened in your life if you have come to Christ. And we must think upon these things because the future is built upon the past. For the Christian, the future is built upon all that God has done for us in Jesus. We sometimes sing, we'll praise him for all that is past and we'll trust him for all that's to come. The certainties of the past. But what about the certainties of the present? You see, people would say, but this is a very uncertain world we're living in now. things are changing so quickly, and standards are changing, and things that were absolutely sacrosanct years ago now seem to be thrown out of the window. Now, I know people say you must live a day at a time, and let's take each day as it comes, and so on. And there's a certain amount of truth in that, for Jesus said, take no thought of the morrow. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, the constant message of the Bible is of God guiding his people. The story of the Exodus, guiding them through the wilderness, bringing them into the promised land. That's the case still. God guiding his people, bringing them safely onto glory. That's the final outcome, isn't it? God is the God of his people. So what is certain now? If you're a Christian this morning, what is certain now? Well, look at some of the verses that we read in this chapter. In verse 5 of chapter 2, it says, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Now, young people especially, you're going to meet people who'll say to you, that's what you believe, but I believe something different, and what I believe is just as valid as what you believe. And they're going to say to you, maybe, especially if you meet, say, the Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody like that, they're going to say to you, if you tell them that you're a Christian, you've trusted Christ, and they'll say, oh, that's nice for you. And they'll try to get you onto a different track. Now, listen, we have got to be clear. We know, John tells us here, we know that we are in him, that we don't get sidetracked. We don't get moved away by the fast talking of other people. Indeed, the whole purpose of this letter is set out in the verse that we read in chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. You might know you have eternal life. A Christian is not left in doubt or bewilderment. We can know. Now, how can we say with certainty then that we are in him? How can we say that? Some people might say to you, if you said, I know that the Lord Jesus is my Savior, and they might look at you and say, you can't say that with certainty. Well, listen here, John gives us a couple of examples here. He gives us a couple of examples. It tells us here in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2 of 1 John. It tells us of two men. The first, it tells us, it says he knows God, but he does not keep his commandments. He tells us this man is a liar. This man is a liar. A person who says he knows God, but doesn't keep his commandments, has no desire to walk in the way of truth and righteousness. John says, this man is a liar. It matters not what he professes. It matters not how many times he says, oh, I'm a Christian. If he does not keep the commandments. If a man has a true relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus, it will be seen in his life. It will be seen in his life. There will be evidence, the keeping of his commandments. A person may believe the doctrine, but if there's no obedience, then he is not in Christ. He's not in Christ. You know, the story is told of a lecturer in a theological college. And he spent a great bit of time teaching the students the book of Romans. And he did it so well. He went through it so well and spoke about man and his sin and then Christ, his only Savior. And at the end of a number of weeks, one of the students came to him and sort of thought it was very good and said, he said, "Do you believe all that?" And the lecturer says, "Who said anything about believing it? I'm just here to teach it." Like, that's what was happening. That's what was happening. But you see, if we love the Lord Jesus, it will be seen in keeping his commandments. The second man is found, is described in verse 5. "Whosoever obeys the word, hereby know that we are in him." We're in him. Whoever obeys the word. You see, it's not natural for us to keep the commandments, is it? Whenever you think about it, why do so many people try to deceive you? Why do so many people ring up on the telephone and tell you that this is happening and that's happening and the next thing is happening and you've got to do this and you've got to do... Why are so many people doing that? Because they have no time for the truth. They have no time for the things of God. No time for the things of God. But whenever we love the Lord Jesus, whenever we have trusted alone in Christ, there's a desire to do his will. A Christian is concerned about pleasing his Lord. How do you know if you are in Christ? How do you know? You say you're a Christian. Have you a love for him? Have you a love for his word? Have you a love for his day? Would you rather be here on the Lord's day than miss this for anything else? Do you love the time of prayer? Surely that is how we know if we are in Christ. If we're in Christ, if we know him. That we're wanting to do his will. To go and labor on, spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will. It's our joy. That's what's certain now, isn't it? That's what's certain now. Whenever we desire day by day, whenever you go out and your work, and maybe there's somebody working beside you and he would fiddle the books, but you're not going to fiddle the books. You're going to do what's right. You're going to live for Jesus. Even though it's hard. And listen, young people, it's going to be hard sometimes. There's going to be people that maybe in your class at school or university, and they're going to make fun of you. But you've got to be clear, got to understand. We know Christ, we must follow Christ, and we must not be led astray. We must not be led astray. I know he is able to keep. That is absolutely certain. But what about the present certainties or the future certainties? We've thought about past certainties. Jesus who died. We've thought about present certainties, to know Christ, to trust in Christ now. But what about future certainties? Well, many people want to know the future, don't they? We have fortune tellers, we have stargazers, we have spiritualists, we have all sorts of people. But let's remember, it's not up to us to know the future. It's up to us each day to live for Jesus. That's what we're to do, each day to live for Jesus until he comes or until he calls us home. We're to be also ready, for in such an hour as we think not, the Son of Man is coming. So what is certain about the future? Well, one thing you can be sure about, and I'm especially talking here to young people this morning, one thing you can be sure about, there'll be plenty of people trying to deceive you. We're told that there'll be mockers and deceivers and those who love evil. The devil will seek to destroy those whom he will. We are certain about this. Be warned, everyone, be warned. I listened one day there in the radio and the news, and somebody come on and said that She was a Presbyterian for 50 years, and now she decided she didn't want anything more to do with Presbyterians. Because we wouldn't join in with the parade yesterday, or whatever the case might be. So she's left. Don't be led astray, young people. Know what the Bible teaches. Know what it teaches about thee. If you're not sure, ask. I know you haven't, but ask Mr. Martin, and he'll soon tell you. He'll soon tell you. We're certain that there'll be mockers. But the one thing we can be absolutely sure about is nothing can separate us from God's love in the Lord Jesus. Nothing can separate us. Oh, trust him, everyone. Trust him. And the work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promises, yea and amen. And never was forfeited yet. He'll not forsake you. He'll not let you down. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and they're known of mine, and no one will ever pluck them out of my hand. Not one. I am his, and he is mine forever. And the wonderful thing is, everyone, of course, Jesus is coming back again. And whenever he comes back again, he'll come back for his people, and we shall be like him. Now, maybe we'll have to answer the call before he comes back again. Many have gone before us, and many of us will possibly answer. Maybe all of us, we don't know when he's coming back again. But he's coming back again. And it tells us in 1 John 3:2, we shall be like him. It's not wonderful. We shall be like him. His redeemed people, the final transformation, free from the very presence of sin. That's certain, future certainty. We sing, finish then thy new salvation, pure and spotless let us be, changed from glory unto glory, till in heaven we take our place. Isn't that a wonderful assurance? Isn't it wonderful to look forward to that day whenever we shall be with Jesus? And what he wants us to do is to walk in his way day by day now, and to show others that we love Jesus, show others that he is a wonderful Savior, and that we love him. It's certain that all things work together for good to those who love God. So things do seem uncertain in the world, don't they? There's so many conflicts going on. Trouble in politics, trouble in nations. People putting forward these doctrines that are wrong. Remember what's certain. Remember the past certainties, that we have passed from death unto life if we're Christ. Remember the present certainties. We know that we're in him and he'll never forsake us. And remember the future certainties. We know we shall be like him. We know that we shall be like him. Have you that assurance this morning? Sometimes we used to sing the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Have you that assurance that you're in Christ? That you're in him. What John tells us here, that we know that we have come to know him. It's not wonderful if we obey his commandments. Why, trust that's the case with every heart here, that we'll walk day by day with Jesus and be certain of his love. Let's pray.